Taking a look at the world of wildlife today, we'll talk a little turkey. We'll talk upland wildlife with our guest today, Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us. Mark Witeka, my guest, he's the upland wildlife ecologist, farm bill specialist with the Bureau of Wildlife Management at our Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And he'll be giving us an update on the farm bill, conservation programs, as well as results of the spring turkey hunt, and a whole lot more. Hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Maybe you've participated in one of the federal conservation programs. What about the Conservation Reserve Program, CRP it's called? Are they good for farmers and wildlife? What are your wildlife concerns? All those things. 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Mark Witeka, welcome back. Great to have you with us again.
Thank you, Larry. Good to be back chatting with you and the listeners again.
Well, I tell you what, this farm bill, I mentioned this to somebody else, and they said, farm bill? What's the farm bill got to do with wildlife? And it does have a lot to do.
Absolutely, yes. The farm bill has a lot to do with a lot of things, actually. Farm bill, just in general, is the term used for a comprehensive collection of policies related to agriculture in the United States. It's broken down into a number of different divisions or titles and includes a diversity of topics, including agricultural commodities, nutrition assistance, crop insurance, farm loans, energy, and agricultural research. And it also includes a number of different conservation programs, which are aimed at improving private lands for wildlife as well as other natural resource concerns. And the conservation programs included in the farm bill are the area that I focus on.
Yeah, and these are important areas. I mean, these are really important for people.
They certainly are. These programs largely target working lands, so agricultural lands that are currently in production. And these programs are nationwide and impact millions of acres every single year. So not just benefiting wildlife habitat, but also helping to improve water quality, preventing soil erosion, benefiting air quality as well.
Talk about some of the programs that you're most familiar with. We'll just pick one and talk about it to begin with, just and how it affects Wisconsin and our wildlife.
Sure. So one of the more ubiquitous programs is the Conservation Reserve Program, commonly known as CRP. And what this program does is essentially pays farmers to take environmentally sensitive lands out of production and plant it to perennial grass cover. The program will then pay landowners an annual rental rate based on the number of acres that they have as well as the soil productivity. So what this program does is it takes lands that are highly erodible, for example, or perhaps an old wetland, and puts them back into that perennial grass cover, which has been critically important to maintaining our grassland species. We've lost over 99% of our native prairie in the United States and have subsequently seen significant declines in our grassland wildlife species. So this program is really doing great things and has been doing great things since 1985 for benefiting grassland wildlife.
Yeah, it's been a good program. Maybe just some of the specifics of it. A farmer has to take a certain amount of acreage out of production, isn't that the case?
Correct, yes. So there's a number of different options out there. There's general CRP, and that's where maybe a farmer has a field that's maybe regularly flooded and the whole field isn't great for production. They can take that entire field out and place it into the General Conservation Reserve Program. There's also a number of other options that have emerged in more recent years and are more flexible for farmers that let them take small portions of fields out, for example. Mm. So if they have an area where they're experiencing erosion, they can put in a grassed waterway to help prevent that erosion. And it helps them target specific areas within a field that aren't producing well opposed to having to enroll an entire field into the program.
That's really a good idea, I think.
Absolutely, yes. It gives agricultural producers, far more flexibility in taking certain portions of field out of production rather than the entire field. So it's a more targeted approach.
And then, of course, the benefits there accrue to the wildlife to have that kind of area.
Absolutely, yes. So this is providing grassland cover generally in areas where the native grassland, our prairies, have largely been tilled up in over the past 150 years.
Do we have a lot of acreage in Wisconsin under CRP?
Not as much in Wisconsin. CRP, the stronghold for CRP is the Great Plains. North and South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, kind of the central plains and northern plains specifically.
And that's also where you see a lot of upland game.
Absolutely, yeah. It's no coincidence that waterfowl production in the Prairie Pothole region is significant there, and that's actually, researchers have attributed a 30% increase in waterfowl populations in the Prairie Pothole region to grassland created by the Conservation Reserve Program.
Well, let's see. I put 100 acres into the Cropland Reserve Program. What rules come along with that? I mean, obviously, I have to plant it.
Right.
But then I'm wondering about things like allowing people on the land and things of that nature.
Absolutely. So essentially, the cover has to remain intact and remain undisturbed. So you wouldn't be able to, say, come in and plow up part of it unless you removed it from the program. Some other restrictions or other requirements associated with the program is during the contract period, some management is required. And especially in areas like Wisconsin where we have highly productive soils and productive climate, what tends to happen is trees and shrubs move into these grasslands very quickly, because historically grasslands were maintained by continuous wildfires that would sweep across the landscape and keep these large areas open. So it's very important to manage these grasslands at some point, at least during the contract period, to help keep them in that open grassland state. So part of the requirements with the program is doing something along the lines of a prescribed burn or a mowing, for example, just to try and keep that cover in the early successional stages, as we call it.
Well, Kenneth in Janesville had a question about the Farm Bill itself. When the Farm Bill was passed, when was it passed, and how long are the programs in effect?
Sure, that's a great question. From a historical standpoint, the first Farm Bill was passed in 1933. It looked very, very different than the Farm Bills that we see today. Many people consider the Farm Bill of 1985 to really be the first modern Farm Bill that included some of the lasting conservation programs and provisions such as the Conservation Reserve Program. The most recent Farm Bill, the Agricultural Adjustment Act of 2014, was obviously passed in 2014, and Farm Bills require reauthorization every 5 years. So 2018 then will be a reauthorization year for the Farm Bill.
Okay, and so that's how long those programs are in effect. At least until that.
Until then, right. So these programs are authorized within each Farm Bill. Now, a person's contract, so say, for example, the Farm Bill is only good for 5 years and requires reauthorization. However, if a person enrolls into CRP for 10 years, for example, they're locked
they're
in at their contract. Yep, their contract extends through that period. So,
well, this is, here we are in an election year, so I don't know that there's a whole lot going on in the legislature, but any possible legislation that we should be aware of in this area?
Not in the immediate future. There'll be a lot of discussions, and they do take quite a bit of input, the federal government and Congress specifically that authors the Farm Bill. They do take a lot of input from conservation partners as well as agricultural producers. So I think we'll probably just start to see the ball rolling in the next year or so on formulating plans and possible amendments to the Farm Bill. But nothing really in the immediate future.
Yeah. Are there trends that you see in these programs?
Absolutely. And it varies depending on the program. So with the Conservation Reserve Program, for example, where land is coming out of production and is considered retired for a short period of time, generally 10 to 15 years, we've been seeing a decreasing trend in enrollment in those programs over the last 10 years or so, really, since about 2007. And a lot of that has to do with high commodity prices for a stretch there around 2010 or so. Yeah. From 2007 through, say, 2013 or so, commodity prices were very high. Corn was well over $5 a bushel. And so that is obviously an incentive for farmers to take their land out of conservation programs and put them back into production. That's their livelihood. And so we saw large exodus of producers away from the Conservation Reserve Program. We were well over 30 million acres at the high point around 2007, and currently we're down to about 24 million acres. Mm-hmm. However, in the last general CRP sign-up, which just occurred earlier this year, we saw a huge spike in interest. And I think that largely has to do with some of the lower commodity prices that we've seen over the last 2 years or so. There's starting to be a renewed interest in conservation programs.
Corn's not at $5 a bushel.
Right. No, it's down in the low threes, and has been, so we're seeing more and more interest in going back into these conservation programs.
Talking today with Mark Witeka. Mark's the upland wildlife ecologist, farm bill specialist with the Bureau of Wildlife Management and our DNR. Inviting you to join in with your questions. You may have questions about the CRP or other government farm bill programs, or you might just have a wildlife question in general. We'd certainly love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Today at 11:45, we'll be taking a look at a book the author has written about the amazing world of fireflies. It's a delightful book. Hope you can join us for that and stay with us. Right now, taking a look at our Wisconsin wildlife and the farm bill, the conservation programs associated with it, with Mark Witeka. Join in at 1-800-642-1234. Post a question on our Facebook page title, The Larry Mueller Show, or just email us at talk@wpr.org. Interesting to see that big spike in people wanting to get into the program, the CRP program. Are they all going to be able to do that?
Well, unfortunately, this year they were not. It was great to see that renewed interest, but unfortunately, the cap had been dropped from 32 million acres of CRP nationwide to 24 million acres. That adjustment was largely made due to the declining interest we had seen in recent years. However, with this renewed interest, it put us right at the cap. So, unfortunately, only 11% of agricultural producers that applied to be in the Conservation Reserve Program were accepted in Wisconsin, 11%, and that was below the national average of 22%. Typically, that figure is up in the 90% range.
Wow.
So it was the most competitive CRP sign-up in history, and that means that a lot of the acres that were accepted were of high quality, so that was great
to
see.
That's a good thing.
Yep, that's absolutely a good thing. But unfortunately, only a small portion of those producers that applied for the program were able to get in.
You know, I've been introducing you as an upland game specialist, and somebody might wonder, well, what is included in that term, upland game?
Sure. So upland game is largely our resident game birds. So game birds that are hunted or game birds that have a closed season and are non-migratory. So that excludes waterfowl, for example, and geese. So I cover primarily turkey, pheasant, quail, sharp-tailed grouse, ruffed grouse, greater prairie chicken in the state of Wisconsin.
We can talk about all of those as well, of course. Let's go to Duke in Viroqua. Duke, thanks for calling. Hello.
Well, thank you, Larry. It's good to hear this topic. I'm out here in the Driftless area. I work with the Driftless Area Restoration Effort. And we work to put together watershed programs and stream restoration programs. And the Farm Bill, the conservation programs are hugely important to that. The Natural Resource Conservation Service has been, and the Farm Service Agency have had funding available that we try to put into programs across the Driftless area, and there's been several million dollars set aside for the next 3 years in the Kickapoo watershed to do grazing programs as well as stream bank stabilization and other programs that are going to help water quality and the quality of fisheries. And we couple that Farm Bill money up with other dollars from other sources like Wisconsin Trout Stamp and Trout Unlimited chapter contributions and other sources. And then if a landowner provides a public fishing easement, there isn't any cost to that landowner of the project. So the NRCS and the Farm Bill programs work really well to dovetail with these other funding sources and benefit the streams as well as adjacent wetlands and then the uplands too.
Duke, I'm glad you brought that up, and I'm sure, Mark, you're nodding your head. Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, one of the great things about the Farm Bill as it's evolved over time is it's done two things. It's taken more of a partnership approach. So as you've mentioned, working with Trout Unlimited, for example, on stream quality issues in the Driftless area. And the other thing the Farm Bill has been trending towards is more of a focus area approach. So finding these certain initiatives throughout the United States, such as the Kickapoo River Valley or the Driftless Area Land Conservation Initiative, for example, where they can take a targeted approach with producers within a certain area and help address specific natural resource concerns within that region.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Duke, thank you.
You bet.
I appreciate bringing that up. It's an important point. We have Cole, who's near Lake Superior, with a question. Cole, hello. Thank you for calling.
How are you?
Great. Appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
I'm from New Hampshire and just driving through, so I'm not really familiar with the program. But from what I understand, the conservation program pays farmers to keep their land out of production. Is that correct?
That is correct. So they pay an annual rental rate that's based on soil productivity on your land. So what are the quality of the soils and how much could they produce in terms of bushels of corn per acre, for example.
Okay, and so what is the divergence, or what's the difference between what a typical farmer would make, you know, putting his production into corn or keeping it for conservation?
Sure, and that question changes on a regular, you know, the answer to that question changes on a regular basis. So in recent years where crop prices were high, it was likely more profitable, at least from an entire field standpoint, to be in crop production. However, with lower crop prices, it might be more profitable to be in CRP right now. Really, it depends on the site, and it depends on the commodity markets at the time.
Okay, and so a department like yours, you monitor that and make sure that there's an equality or not too much of a disparity between the two in terms of what they would make in production versus what they would make in conservation.
That's correct. So the annual soil rental rates are altered by the Farm Service Agency to try and match the market. Sometimes the response to the market is a little bit slower, and understandably so. Changing a large federal program like that takes some work, whereas commodity prices could change overnight. So,
okay. Is that change? Is that something that has to be authorized by Congress, or can you guys just do it on your own?
Well, that's it's actually a federal agency. So USDA administers all of these programs. The Farm Service Agency within USDA administers the Conservation Reserve Program, and then the Natural Resource Conservation Service, or NRCS, administers a whole host of other natural resource programs. So that would be something that the Farm Service Agency would change on their own, I believe. I don't believe they would need congressional authorization for that. I'm not 100% sure.
I think they're authorized to make the change through Congress.
Right.
I think Congress has given them a little leeway on that.
Right. And I think the idea there is they can change the rates, but Congress sets the spending limits for them.
Okay. Well, it just sounds like a very good program, something that's worthwhile for the country, yeah. And I just would hate to see the disparity get to the point where everybody goes into production and pulls a lot of conservation land, because once it goes into production, I'm sure it takes a while to get that land back to where it's worthwhile as conservation land.
Absolutely, yes. And one of the things we're seeing right now is that those rental rates are still high because commodity prices were high a couple years ago. So right now the conservation programs are very competitive with crop production.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. I've learned a lot.
Yeah, thanks, Cole. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions. Brian and Rising Sun up next. Hi, Brian. Thanks for calling.
Hello. How you doing?
Great. Appreciate your call.
Good. Our farm is my wife is a sixth-generation farmer on our farm. We purchased in 97 from my mother and father-in-law. And it was in the CRP program, and we just took it out of the CRP program because we moved up here in 2009, and we wanted to start farming again. Mm-hmm. We both grew up on farms, and I'm doing rotational pasture with the cattle when I took out of the CRP. That way it helped conserve the land. Mm-hmm. And I've been working with the FSA office, and they've been great to help me, you know, make the transition. But it's really nice to be out there in the woods and the fields and to hear all the critters, the pheasants and the birds and the water. There was a dry creek, and it started running water after about 2 or 3 years in the CRP program.
Yeah.
It's a good program. It's not a money maker per se, but if money's not your driver, it's a great program to conserve the land. And we have grandchildren coming up, and maybe one of those will be interested in farming. So
yeah,
the land is ready for them to do whatever.
Wow.
So, it's a good program, but you know, it's not a cash cow by no means, but it's better than just letting the land sit idle. It's a good program.
Well, Brian, I thank you very much. It's good to hear from you and good to know that you had good success with the program. David from Hillsboro called in and just left a message. He's a farmer. He noted that some farmers get out of the program because it allows anybody to hunt on their land. And that's not exactly right, is it?
That is not. Actually, there's no program or sub-program within Farm Bill conservation programs that automatically allow public access. So the Conservation Reserve Program does not require public access at all.
Okay.
There are some other conservation programs within the Farm Bill, the Voluntary Public Access Program, for example, which specifically pays people who voluntarily open their land to public hunting. But all of the actual conservation programs do not require public access.
Interesting. Well, Steve in Mequon has a question. Steve, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I have a question in regards to how the DNR polices these programs to make sure people are actually fulfilling the contact or content of the contract with the state.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So just to clarify, so the Department of Natural Resources and state agencies in general do not administer the program. This is a federal program that's administered by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. So the farms with CRP, how it works is the Farm Service Agency is the agency that administers the contract. So when an agricultural producer is interested in the program, they go to their local Farm Service Agency office and sign the necessary paperwork and are then enrolled in the program if their offer is accepted. The I guess, partner agency to the Farm Service Agency is the Natural Resource Conservation Service, or NRCS. They're another USDA agency, and they oftentimes work out of the same office as the Farm Service Agency. So how this works is the Farm Service Agency will enroll these producers in the program, and the Natural Resource Conservation Service will follow up to ensure that the perennial grass cover was in fact planted, for example. They'll follow up and do site visits to make sure that the cover actually established and is growing. And they'll make sure also that there was no issues with, say, invasive species invading those grasslands, because they do want, they're paying for these acres. They want them to be a high-quality grassland. So the Natural Resource Conservation Service is in charge of following up and making sure that producers are compliant with the program requirements.
Hmm.
Okay. Thank you much.
Yeah, thanks much for calling. Appreciate it. And I would expect there are specifics in terms of what a farmer, exactly what seed and all that, that a farmer has to plant.
That's right, yes. So NRCS has specific standards on what can be planted, what the density of the planting should be, for example. Yep.
Brian in Portage, we turn to you, and then we'll get to Jack in Green Bay. Brian, hi.
Hello there. I have a question on, is that 11% that you mentioned, is that part of the wetland restoration program? Or is that a CRP-type program?
That was the 11% acceptance rate?
Yes.
That was specifically for the Conservation Reserve program.
Okay. Because I was wondering, because my folks put their half of their farm into the wetland program, and it had to have been enrolled by December 15th of this last year, which it was, but they haven't heard yet whether they were accepted or not. And I was just wondering if those have been announced or not yet.
I believe there is a second round of applications being considered. I'm not sure what stage NRCS is at with reviewing those applications.
So how would you find out about that?
The best bet would be to call your local NRCS office and talk to the district conservationist. That's the person with NRCS that's in charge of their conservation programs for the counties that they cover.
I see.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks
You're
a lot
welcome.
For calling. Appreciate your call. Sarah posted on Facebook to say the price of corn is $4.34, not $3, in the $3 range.
It has come up, and that oftentimes happens after the fall when we're not so much in production in the corn states. Yep.
Yeah, exactly right. And her own view is that the bill should be referred to as the food bill, which she feels better reflects how funds are allocated.
Sure. So a major portion of the farm bill is in nutrition programs, which include the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, formerly the food stamp program. And that does receive a significant portion of farm bill funding. But certainly the farm bill is very comprehensive, and like I said, covers a number of different topics such as energy and conservation, all generally related to agriculture.
And again, we can take questions on a variety of wildlife questions that you might have. So give a call at 1-800-642-1234, and we'll turn to Jack in Green Bay next. Jack, hi.
Hi, Larry. I really enjoy your shows. I appreciate them.
Thank you.
I'd like to talk about the spring turkey hunting.
Yeah.
I had a very successful season. I'm thankful for that. But my curious question is, why do the turkey time periods in the spring run from Wednesday to Tuesday?
Yeah.
Instead of like a Saturday to a Friday, your traditional hunting seasons usually open on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Yes, so that's a great question. I'm not sure originally why they were started on Wednesday. I believe there's a change coming to the season that would it would change the start date a little bit, but ultimately what it would do is allow the season to run through Memorial Day weekend, when a lot of people have off and have an opportunity to hunt. why it was ever started on a Wednesday, that's a great question, though. I'm not sure what initiated that. But I think the idea still is that it at least provides one weekend for hunters to get out and hunt every period.
Yeah. Well, maybe somebody else is listening in who knows the answer and can call in. If you do, give us a call. Thanks, Jack. It's a good question. I don't know that anybody's answered that. And I thought, well, there must be some reason. 1-800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. You know the answer to that question, or if you have a question of your own, I hope you'll join us. 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org, or please post on our Facebook page, the Facebook page titled The Larry Mailer Show. Speaking of the spring turkey hunt, it was pretty successful hunt.
Absolutely. Yeah, we had a great spring turkey hunt this year. We had approximately 45,500 turkeys harvested in the spring of 2016, and that represents an 11% increase from the harvest in 2015, so very successful year this year. And we also saw our statewide success rates amongst hunters rise from about 19.7% to about 21.3%, so very successful
getting year. Getting a little better
hunters.
At it.
Yep.
I'm starting to remember how many years it's been now. It's been a long... Well, it hasn't been that long, but...
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of hunters out there that remember not having a turkey season, period.
Yeah, well, I'm one of those. One of those for sure. So it's one of the really, really great success stories. Does the increased harvest in spring have any effect on the fall hunt?
Not really. So since we're only harvesting toms from the population during the spring, and occasionally a bearded hen, but predominantly harvesting toms, it doesn't impact really the reproductive potential of the population. So if we have, you know, we've seen good numbers this spring, and if we have some good weather conditions through the rest of the nesting season and through the brood rearing season where hens are raising the poults, then we should have great fall numbers as well.
Oh, excellent.
Yep. And I think we're overall seeing better turkey numbers this year because we've had two years with fairly good nesting and brood rearing conditions, and have had two fairly mild winters in a row as well. So the turkeys are coming out of winter in good shape and are ready for the breeding season.
A note on Facebook from Joel, who is from Auburndale, wondering if there's someone who could come to his farm and help him return fields back to native vegetation.
Absolutely. That's a great question, Joel, and I'm glad you brought that up. There is a partnership program within the state of Wisconsin, and it's the Farm Bill Wildlife Biologist Program. So it's a partnership between Wisconsin DNR, the Natural Resource Conservation Service, and Pheasants Forever. And these partners help create these positions for wildlife biologists to be within these USDA offices in each of the counties working with NRCS and working with a Farm Service Agency to provide a wildlife conservation perspective within those offices. And these folks will go out to farms, will help write management plans for the farm, and will also determine eligibility and give producers some options for funding for those projects as well through the federal Farm Bill programs. So
that's right in every county then, or is that?
We have seven Farm Bill biologists in the state of Wisconsin, and they cover every county in the state. So each county is represented by one of these folks. And the way you can locate your nearest Farm Bill wildlife biologist is going to the Pheasants Forever the Pheasants Forever page and searching for the Find a Wildlife Biologist, and it'll give you an option to enter your zip code and bring up the nearest Farm Bill biologist to you.
Somebody, here's another topic. A caller asks about the effects coyotes have on upland wildlife populations.
Sure. It's a great question. It's one I get quite frequently, not just coyotes, but predators in general. Predators certainly can have an impact on populations. They can influence things like nest success or brood or poult success. What a lot of research has shown, though, is that the predators and the mortality associated with predators is what we refer to as compensatory. So a certain portion of the turkey population is going to die every year. They're not a long-lived species. They're hit by cars. They're taken by numerous predators, whether mammalian or avian predators.
And dogs.
Dogs, yes, certainly. And a certain portion of that population is going to die every single year. And we've found that predators, their influence is largely compensatory, so they're not adding to overall mortality of the population. Their mortality is something that would happen to the population anyways, and turkeys are prolific reproducers, you know, laying 12 or more eggs, raising 6 or more poults in some years, so they're able to overcome those pressures of predators. That's just how they've evolved over time.
And Jeff wondered about pheasants. We've mentioned pheasants more than once, and wondering about, of course, that's not a native species, but certainly a very popular species.
Absolutely.
Here. What's the pheasant situation like for the state?
The pheasant population in Wisconsin and really nationwide has been declining in recent years, and that's largely due to the loss of grasslands that we've experienced since 2007. Losing millions of acres of grassland habitat has had an impact on not just wild pheasants, but also a number of other grassland species as well. And so we have been seeing declines. We still have strongholds of wild pheasants, specifically in the southern and western portions of the states, but a lot of people are actually hunting pheasants that are raised at the state game farm in Poinette when they're pheasant hunting in Wisconsin.
You've been in your position now for about 6 months, if I'm not mistaken. How's it been going so far?
So far, it's been great. I really enjoy working with Upland Game Birds and Farm Bill programs. It's an area I had experience in prior to coming to the DNR. And one thing I've really liked about the position is the amount of partnership and outreach that's done. I get to work with farmers and agricultural producers and our conservation partners, and I really enjoy that aspect of the job.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's been a lot of fun talking with you, Mark. I hope you can come back and be with us again.
My pleasure. I'd love to come back, Larry.
Mark Witeka, upland wildlife ecologist and farm food or farm bill specialist in the Bureau of Wildlife Management at our Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. It was great to learn how these farm programs actually affect our conservation efforts, and a lot for the positive. So that's really kind of good news. Some more good news coming up for you, because we have coming up the author of a new book. It's called Silent Sparks, The Wondrous World of Fireflies. You're going to enjoy it. That's next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.